This week on Jaguars Weekend. The Jaguars dropped a tough one in Kansas City last week. This week, they're back at home to try to get things going against a division rival. Plus, it's a special week in Jacksonville as the Jaguars say thank you to those who serve our country. All that and more ahead on Jaguars Weekend.
This is Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. Building the American dream, one home at a time. Brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. EverBank. It's your money. Make the most of it. And by Cadillac.
We got to take care of this game, and we got to win one to get hot. I understand that. But I just think this team can get on a roll.
That could start at EverBank Field this week. The Jaguars return home for the first time in 3 weeks. Maybe a little home cooking will help. And welcome into Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. J.P. Shattuck with you. The Jaguars trying to rebound from the tough loss in Kansas City. They looked better overall. The offense ran the ball well. The defense was sound. But four giveaways doomed the Jaguars at Arrowhead Stadium, and they fell to a record of 2-6. Though there were some positives to take away from this game, and that's what they'll try to build upon this week. After another difficult loss, the Jaguars got back in the film room Monday, but this time found plenty to build upon.
I think that you saw all 11 players on offense honed into the game plan. You know, and I think at times we executed stuff very well. And, you know, and we did well in situations that we needed to.
With a strong rushing effort, the Jaguars' offense had their best balance of 2016.
I think us being able to show that we can do that, and I think now it's going to be able to find out, can we do it on a consistent basis, week in and week out, against different teams.
Following a sound effort on the defensive side, the next step is getting takeaways against Brock Osweiler and the Houston Texans.
I think they're itching for a takeaway. Obviously, we all are. But at the same time, we can't press. You know, we were excited because we were getting off the grass. But at the same time, we got to try to steal a possession here and there.
We welcome in Brian Sexton and John Osier. And guys, we hear about the turnover margin for this team, the worst in the NFL right now. And a lot of that's on the offensive side, of course. But hey, the defense has to do their part at some point, too.
Rush the passer, get some pass breakups, get the ball on the ground. That's how you do it. Now, they've trailed so much, it's hard to do that, but that's where most of your turnover opportunities are going to come from. When you're disrupting the quarterback and you're causing chaos back there, they haven't missed that many, Brian. But the reason they haven't missed that many, they haven't had that many opportunities because they haven't disrupted enough.
And Todd Walsh talked about that, but I want to take the other tack, and that's forcing fumbles. If you go back and you look at the hit on Brian Walters on the first punt return, and the second one, by the way, people forget that that was almost a turnover, and the hit on T.J. Yeldon on the first down run. Guys, I mean, they got in there with their helmet. They got in there with their hand. They pulled the ball out. The Chiefs made those happen, right? They made them happen. The Jaguars defenders, besides rushing the passer and getting interceptions, they've got to make those happen. You can do it. The Chiefs did it to them. Now go do it to the Texans.
This offense had, 449 yards total last week, and it was pretty balanced, over 200 on the ground. They got to replicate that moving forward somehow to still maintain some success on the offensive side.
Well, and I got the sense listening to Nathaniel Hackett that they're going to be as focused on running the ball with Chris Ivory as they were last week and pounding it. And that's what they really want to do. So if you want to replicate the success up front with Chris running that way, finding the right spot to put TJ in there and let defenses chase, if you want to replicate 449 yards, you want the quarterback to play well, but you better run the ball.
And that's not going to change. It's clear Nathaniel Hackett thinks that's what this offense needs. Gus Bradley's been saying it for a year and a half, and he's finally got it. It'll be interesting to see because so much of what they did against the Chiefs was about scheming. And Nathaniel Hackett, I talked about it this week. Can they continue to scheme that well? So far, so good.
Well, and Linder played well against Dontari Poe. Yeah. He better buckle up because he gets a bigger version of Poe, if that's possible, with Vince Wilfork.
Oh, it's possible.
Yeah, we've seen it.
He's a pretty good player, no doubt about that. There is more ahead on Jaguars Weekend. We sit down with head coach Gus Bradley for a closer look at the Houston Texans quarterback. Also, the Jaguars make a special visit to Naval Air Station Jacksonville for a salute to service. And there's salmon on the menu this week on Game Day Grub. That's all coming up, but first a closer look at former Jags defensive end Tony Brackett on Classic Jags, presented by Lexus.
A Among those who have seen the best defensive players to ever wear the teal and black, there's plenty of debate. Who was the best linebacker? Who was the best corner? But when we're talking about who was the best defensive end of all, well, there's no debate. It's Tony Bracken.
He was dynamic, strong, powerful, could rush the passer, was fast and explosive. He was everything you wanted in a pass rusher.
Literally, when we used to do conditioning drills, he would run with the running backs and would taunt them because he was outrunning a lot of them. I mean, he was that gifted of a player.
When you put on the tape and watch Tony Brackens, you see a perfect pass rusher. Perfect. He was 6'5", 265 pounds. You know, those long arms and that the grace of a gazelle with the explosiveness of a lion.
The thing about Tony Brackens is just how many big moments he had when he played. He was a difference maker and a game changer.
He was like, you know, when you think of the big wrecking ball that smashes a building, that's what Tony Brackens was capable of doing to an offense.
There were games in the 90s where they absolutely would not have won if Tony Brackens not been on the field, and they were big games.
The Jaguars have been searching for the next Tony Brackens for more than a decade. They hope Dante Fowler Jr. becomes that guy. But they've waited so long because those kinds of guys are so rare.
They're going to hold the football. Everything is specials at the end of the game, right? Specials, that means he's got to hold it. You got to keep your shoulders down, and we got to f***ing get there now. Pin them ears back, let's get it done.
First-year defensive coordinator Todd Wash getting his guys going on the sideline last week. They played well in a lot of tight situations, and you can check out the full Sounds of the Game feature on Jaguars.com. Welcome back to Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dream Finders Homes. The Jaguars get the Houston Texans this week, the first of two matchups against the division rivals. It's their first look at big free agent signing quarterback Brock Osweiler. And Jeff Loggeman's weekly visit with head coach Gus Bradley is presented by Cadillac.
All right, Gus, this week Houston Texans come to town, and a new part that you're really not that familiar with when I say that. You haven't seen him in person yet. You've watched him a lot on film, and that's quarterback Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, he's done a good job for him. I know, you know, they look at the consistency, some of the same things we're going through. You really want good, consistent play out of your quarterback, and he's got some threats that he can throw it to.
He's a big guy, 6'8", you know, 235, can see over the offensive line, and the one area that he is definitely thrown to, that's the tight ends.
Yeah, both the tight ends have been very effective for him. You know, when you got two tight ends that are very capable like this, very athletic guys that can operate in space, and they're big targets for him, any quarterback's dream.
And what is this route called here?
A little stick nod right here out in the open field. So, you know, sometimes you see that in the goal line area. They're doing it out in the open field. Create some separation. Great throw, great catch.
57 catches by the tight ends for the Houston Texans.
Well, like I said, you know, a lot of quarterbacks will utilize their tight ends, and they do a good job of getting them involved.
Well, and they still have this guy here. He's electric. DeAndre Hopkins, still a dynamic player. He doesn't have the yards per catch like he's had in the past, but wow, look at this play.
It is. You know, he's a difference maker. You know, you have to have great awareness. They have so many threats. You have to have awareness for the tight ends, the receivers. But Hopkins, a guy like this who can do so many things with the ball, always have to keep an eye on where he's at on the field.
Well, he really was the focal point since over the last year or so. You know, prior to that, he had Andre Johnson. Well, they've got a new toy in Houston, and he's first-round draft pick Will Fuller from the University of Notre Dame. I know Tim Walsh loves him.
You know what? He's got great speed on the perimeter. Very athletic. They trust him. I mean, here they throw a deep dig to him. You know, create some space with the speed. So the corner gets out of his break. Because of how fast he is, and that separation is so important in the NFL, allows for a good throw and catch.
Kind of surprising here because at the top, DeAndre Hopkins, is that what you would call the soft spot in cover two there?
Yeah, they got the side pocket there. But, you know, they got a couple guys, a couple options they can go to. Brighton does a good job looking them off and coming back and hitting an explosive play.
Be fun to go against a new quarterback, wouldn't it?
Well, you know what? They're challenging on the offensive side with all their threats, and the quarterback is the one who makes them go.
All right, thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Guys, thanks a lot. It's time now to get inside the locker room with Jaguars defensive tackle Cinderic Marks. He calls this the gold room. We call it players only.
All right, today in the gold room, we got Allen Robinson, a.k.a. Sky Riser, one-handed guy, I'll catch anything. You know for going up and getting like passes that's usually out of reach for a receiver. Is that the basketball background or is just your compassion to do that?
No, I think I would say a little bit of both. You know, I would say for sure the basketball background has helped. You know, also, you know, it's a lot of plays that I think for me, you know, I just take a chance at getting to them. A lot of them be able to come down. You know, some guys may see it like, dang, I can't get to that or judge it late, you know. For me, I'm going to go up and go get it. You know, I'm going to shoot my shot. So maybe sometime I jump too early or whatever it is, I'm going to try to go get it.
A lot of people don't know, you quiet around a lot of people, especially when you don't know them. But here in the building, there's usually a debate going on every single day that's started by you. What the debates be about? And just explain, like, the camaraderie between the guys and the debates and how we all just interact with each other, based off of the stuff that you just bring up out of nowhere.
You know, I think it's pretty cool. You know, for me, I've always been a debate guy as far as sports, you know, some politics, a little bit. But music, you know, a lot of things that a lot of guys have a lot of knowledge about, you know what I mean? I think for us, we're such in a unique position to where, you know, people may not be able to relate to some of the things that you talk about, or you may not be able to get off your chest. You know, sometimes it's all football and stuff like that, but it's a lot of basketball fans in here, a lot of music guys, you know, so just being able to talk, you know, I think it's pretty cool and fun.
Yeah, a lot of people, I said something to you Sunday after the game, and you don't remember, you just like shrugged it off. But man, you starting to become a fashion icon. You can't dress, you never been a dresser. Now you got on all this fashionable stuff, you wear the chains, which is pretty cool, but I just like to make jokes about it.
You know, for me, I would say that once I kind of got to college, you know, I started to get into fashion a little bit. You know, I'm not over the top, like, you know, too into fashion, you know, but.
Nah, you be a little swaggy, though. I go ahead and give you a props. One time that we on TV, I give you your props. Man, appreciate it. Thank you for coming through the gold room, man, no doubt.
There's still more to come. Up next, a salute to service. The Jaguars visit Naval Air Station Jacksonville. And we're ready for some seafood this week on Game Day Grub. This is Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes.
Everything got to run through us.
It's coming over here, now go fast. Hey, it's going to the right. Hey, good size, 7-1.
Tellen Smith mic'd up last week in Kansas City, and now in his third season, he's having a really strong effort so far. You can watch and hear the full Jags Wired segment each week on Jaguars.com. Welcome back to Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. This week's game against the Texans is the annual salute to service game at Everbank Field. But the Jags got in on the celebration a little bit early this week with a visit to Naval Air Station Jacksonville. Brian Sexton has more in this Baptist Health feature.
Most members of our armed forces work in relative anonymity, which is why the Jaguars showed up at NAS Jax on their off day to show some appreciation during Jacksonville's Week of Valor. The VP-16 War Eagles were thrilled to meet the Jags players and members of the Roar and show them around the hangars of the brand new P-8 Poseidon. The War Eagles are extremely proud to be on the cutting edge of naval aviation and proud to show it to Jacksonville.
To be here with a plane that's less than a week old, or less than a week that it's been in the Navy's custody, is an amazing opportunity. It's great to showcase that Jacksonville is a very strategic part of the nation's defense.
The officers and sailors of the squadron didn't just point out the features, they let them get up close and personal with a $200 million aircraft that both hunts submarines and flies humanitarian missions. To say the Jaguars were as thrilled as the War Eagles is an understatement.
I am fascinated with airplanes and the fact that we were able to get into the cockpit, sit down, ask questions, you know, not have, you know, I mean, it's a chance to see other experts in other particular fields. You know, people adore us, but when you have a chance to look at some of the things that they do out here, we have a chance to adore them.
Perhaps the most impressive part of the visit was how quickly and how closely the players and sailors meshed, each enjoying the company of the other. It's the real reason why the Week of Valor and the NFL Salute to Service were put together.
The sailors love the opportunity to be appreciated. Sometimes it can feel just like a job, but when they have people realizing the sacrifice that they're making with their families, it really means a lot to have that feeling 365 days a year, which is what Jacksonville provides.
Just like our freedoms, it's something worth celebrating every day. For Jaguars Weekend, I'm Brian Sexton.
It's a really cool visit, and we'll see many of them at the game this weekend against the Houston Texans. It's now time to get into the kitchen with Chef Tony and Michaela Bradley. This is Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas, and they've got another great seafood dish this week.
Welcome to Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas. We are back at the Dreamfinders model home in the Palms of Nocatee, where we're cooking with natural gas with our good friend, Chef Tony from Publix, and he's got something in store for us that I can About Imagine is going to be awesome.
Well, you know, we like to make awesome things. That's what we are projecting onto
key
the field.
For me.
Awesome plays out there, awesome plays in here. And with this natural gas from Tico People's Gas, we're getting some fantastic dishes this season. What's happening out there. So we're going to do a spicy salmon on the grill, you know, with the unpredictable weather in Florida, with the rains, maybe at 3, maybe at 5, maybe at 1. It's great to grill inside. So we're going to start with some salmon here. I have a little bit. How about you help me out? Let's sprinkle some cumin on top of that.
Ooh, cumin on salmon.
All right, I like cumin. We've got some Tex-Mex, some chili powder right here. Yeah, let's do some of that too. How about some smoked paprika?
Love it.
You can almost say this is bronzed salmon. So bronzed spicy salmon. We're going to get a little salt and pepper. Right, we season from afar because we love to be a star.
Perfect.
Right, that just means we get some good disbursement going around. So we're going to take that back over here.
Okay.
I'm going to grab it. We're going to go hit our grill. Again, you know, I love these indoor grill pans. They're fantastic, especially these ceramic ones. Things just come off great. And with that natural gas underneath, that wonderful even heating is what we're after.
Perfect.
I'm going to put our salmon in right across the grill grate like that and put our other piece in. And then we'll come back and season the other half of that in a moment. Now, this other pan right here is waiting for the surprise.
Okay.
Right, salmon needs something to go with it. What's going to be with it today?
Looks like something with cauliflower.
Cauliflower rice. We're going to have a little play on cauliflower rice today.
Okay.
So we have a pan with some grapeseed oil in here. If you'll grab our cauliflower and put it in.
All of it?
All of it, right? Got a hungry bunch out there.
That's right.
This will make a great salad, too. So it's not just necessarily a warm dish. You can use this as a salad. For a tailgater, just put it out anytime. It's great for the holiday season coming up as we move through the fall. So
perfect.
Wonderful. As that sautés down, we're going to supplement this a little bit with some hominy, right?
Okay.
We're all in hominy right now, huh?
Right?
Living in hominy. So add our hominy to this. And all of this has been pulsed in a food processor just to grind it down.
Looks a lot like grits.
And the great thing here is you don't have to do a lot of cooking with it. Right, just until the cauliflower is tender, which because it's in such small pieces, isn't gonna take too long.
Perfect.
So, you know, you maybe do that about 5-10 minutes, let this saute on the stove, stirring it like you are. And then we hit it with a little Parmesan cheese. If you wanted to put some dry chives in there, you could, just for a little bit of color. But we'll just put some Parm in, and we'll let that go and fold it in. We're gonna walk back over to our work area here, where we're gonna make what's going on top of the salmon. In this bowl,
mango.
Look at you, man. You've already got the limes ready to go. They're juice. Let's go ahead and put our mango in.
Love mango.
Some red onion. Red onion and chives go in them, and mango go well. A little cilantro. Oh, everything out of the bowl. I hear you. A little cilantro, a little dusting.
Boom.
And put some chives in there.
Okay.
A little bit of color. We're going to mix that up, season it with some salt and pepper. We'll have our spicy grilled salmon with cauliflower rice and mango salsa. Great for everybody to enjoy.
Thank you, Chef Tony.
For that recipe and a look at all the Game Day Grub segments, make sure you visit peoplesgas.com/cooking. There's still more to come. Moving on to the Texans. A preview of the Week 10 matchup is coming up on Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Home.
You know, I think it just comes down to it. You can talk about it and say what you're going to do, but you just got to go make the play. And we haven't always done that.
Blake Bortles so close last week to getting some big plays down the field. That's the goal moving forward. And welcome back to Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. All right, the Houston Texans have dominated the recent series here, guys. 4 in a row. 9 out of the last 11 have gone the Texans' way. That Houston defense, even without J.J. Watt, is very, very strong.
Well, it's strong because you've still got pass rush. It hasn't been a great defense against the run, but when they get you in passing situations, they put a lot of pressure on you. Whitney Merciless, we all saw how good he can be. Yeah. Jadeveon Clowney, we all know how good he can be. But the key is they've got to stay in those manageable down and distances that you talk about and not allow this team to have pass rush opportunities because even without Watt, they're good at it.
Got to get it on first down, right? I don't care how you do it, throw the ball, run the ball, but you've got to get 4 more yards on first down and stay ahead of the chains. Don't put yourself in predictable situations because when you do, well, that's when you've got Clowney, and I don't care where you line Clowney up. He can be a mismatch. You know, think about what Merciless can do wherever you put him, and that's without J.J. Watt. So you've really got to stay ahead of the chains.
That would have sounded really bad until last week when they showed they could run the ball. So can they build on that against this game? We'll see.
Quickly on the other side, the Jags defense against this Houston offense led by Osweiler, they have a little bit of a run game going and a deep threat, too.
Don't let Miller get to the outside. And I think this team does a good job at stretching it out with the speed they have at linebacker. You can't let him get out and cut it back on you.
Jalen Ramsey versus DeAndre Hopkins.
That's what everybody wants to see. I don't know if it'll be all game, but that's still the matchup. Hopkins hasn't been quite as good with Osweiler, but he's still dangerous.
It'll be interesting to watch the Jaguars and the Houston Texans in the AFC South this weekend at Everbank Field. And that's it for Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes.